If you would this morning, take your Bibles and turn with me to the Gospel of Luke and chapter number 15. This is a very familiar passage of Scripture. This is a very familiar verses that we have, the parable that is given to us. And I'm going to deal with this parable this morning and also tonight. And really just going to be preaching on the latter part of it. This is really the most preached part of the parable. But we find in verse number 1 that the publicans and the sinners come to where the Lord is. And they came and they are always there inquiring. And the Bible says in verse number 2 of chapter 15, it says, "The Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them." And verse number 3 says, "And he spake this parable unto them," and then he begins to give his dissertation or give this parable concerning these things, that he wants to draw attention to these sinners and scribes and those that were murmuring against him. And I thank the Lord that he did come and he dined with sinners. He had meal with people that were lost in order to point them unto himself and to show them the way and the truth and the life. And you find in these first few verses, there's the part of this parable. I believe it's one parable altogether. The Bible doesn't say he gives them parables, but he says he taught to them this parable, a singular parable. And he has many different illustrations within this parable. One of them is the illustration of a lost sheep. You'll notice in every one of the parables, there's always the authority figure there. And he says, "What man of you have 100 sheep, and one of them go and becomes lost? Which of you would not go and get that one, leave the 99, and then they rejoiced over that one that was found?" And then the next part of the parable is this one about the lost coin. And a woman, that authority figure, she had lost some coins, and she swept the floor diligently to find those things that were lost. The Bible says that there was joy there because she had found them. And Jesus says, "Likewise, I say unto you," in verse 10, "there's joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth." So if we want to make heaven rejoice this morning, if we want to have heaven having a joyous time, and that is to point people to the Lord and sinners to repent and turn their self and their life over to Him, the Bible says there's joy in the presence of the angels. So I believe I know who's doing the shouting and the joy. That's those that have gone on before us. And in the presence of the angels, there's rejoicing there over those that come to know Christ. And then the last part of this chapter, we find there are two sons. And I'm going to try to give you a message this morning and one tonight on the prodigal sons. Not just the one, but the wasteful people, the children that were with this father that were there. And they were filled with their own way, and they were certainly different in their ways, different in their attitude, different in their actions, but there's something, the same thing about them. They were both prodigals. One left home, one stayed home. But yet their attitude was just the same toward the Father and those that were with Him. So let's begin reading in verse number 11, and we'll notice here these next few verses. Luke 15, verse 11, "And he said, A certain man had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto him his living. Not many days after, the younger son gathered it all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in the land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to the citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, How many hired servants my father have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger. I will arise and go to my father and say unto him, Father, I have sinned and have against heaven and before thee, and no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him, had compassion, and ran, and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said to him, I have sinned against heaven and thy sight, and no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him, put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. Here we have this story that I guess in this parable that has been preached on multiple times in preachers' lives. I could probably go back and look in my notes and find many times that I've used this passage of Scripture and have reworked it and redone and given passage after passage and message after message on these few verses about this who is called the prodigal son. But if I look back in my notes, I'll find that there's only just a few times about the latter son or the one that we'll deal with tonight. So the one that we're looking at this morning, this is the most popular one that we know about. When we talk about the prodigal son, our minds immediately go to this boy that left home and got into trouble and then decided he's going to come back home and his father accepted him. And so tonight we're going to deal with the other son. This morning we're going to deal with this one. Of course, a parable is a story. It's an earthly story that the Lord used to illustrate something in the heavens or something that was heavenly. He gives them an illustrative story. He tells them, first of all, about the lost sheep, that man that had the sheep that wandered astray. He tells these men, that these publicans and Pharisees and scribes that had gathered themselves around the Lord, they were murmuring against the Lord. He tells them not only about that lost sheep, but he tells them about a lost coin. And he tells them that some things about that. And then he tells them about these two boys that had different problems, different difficulties, but yet they had the same condition of heart. They needed to be right with God. Now, a parable you can use many different ways. You can use it a lot of different applications, and of course they all will fit. And this morning I want us to deal with this younger son that demanded of his father, give me what's mine. And really and truly, there was nothing that was his, because as far as that goes, as long as the father was living, it all belonged to the father. It was not the son's. It was not the elder son's. It was not the younger son. It was the father's. But he demanded, Father, give me what will be mine. And shows forth his attitude. We find that this young boy was surely, it doesn't tell us how old he was. It just tells us he was the younger of the two brothers. Surely he was very discontented where he lived. There were things in his home life that he just didn't like. He just didn't agree with. I'm sure all of us have been there before. I can remember when I was a teenager, I couldn't wait to get out of the house and get out of the home so I could be on my own, do what I wanted to do. And then I got married and I can't do what I want to do. Oh, y'all laughing. You know what I'm talking about. My wife left sick this morning, so I can say that. But we think we have things so bad. Sometimes we hear kids here at school, and they'll talk, and sometimes they'll even be so troubled they'll confide in you and say, they'll call me, or they'll talk to me, or they'll get a hold of me, and they'll tell me how discontented they are, and how that mom and dad do not understand, and how they just cannot relate to their problems. And most of the time it's because they'll not let them relate. And so many times it's because they'll not want them to, they want to have their own way and do it their way without any regard to rules or regulations or anything else. And therefore they are discontented. This young man here, he certainly was not satisfied at home, even though he had a home. You know, a lot of times we're not satisfied with what we got until we realize there's a lot of people out there that don't have what we have. There's a lot of folks out. There's a lot of kids. There's a lot of people that do not have good homes and do not have the things maybe that we have had and try to give to our children. But yet, he had a home, but he didn't want it. He didn't like it. He didn't desire to have that. And he had a good father. We know he's a good father because of some of the things that said about him later on in this passage of Scripture. We know that he was a good father, but yet he was discontented. He just did not want to be there. And so he goes to his father and he says, unto him. He says, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And the father just divided them up for him and let him have those things. He had communication with his father. Might not have been the greatest, might not have been the best, but yet he could talk to him. And he goes to him one day and he says, Father or Dad, I want what's mine. How many times we've thought that's what we wanted? How many times people really think, this is what I want, and I'm going to make my decision, I'm going to do what I desire, I'm going to have my way because this is where I am, I don't like it here, I don't want it this way, so I'm going to just leave and I'm going to go do my own thing. And that's what this young boy did. I looked up the word prodigal. Of course, we relate it to one that has left and comes back. But that's not the first definition of it. The first definition, which is always the one that's most important in the dictionary I looked at, the first definition that I saw was wasteful. Just means wasteful. And this young boy and his attitude and his life, he desired that he was going to go do what he wanted to do with what his father would give him. And he just went out, and we know what happened, as we'll see that in a moment. So we find he's very discontented. You know, sometimes we become discontented even in the family of God. Sometimes even with our brothers and sisters in Christ, we become discontented. We're not happy, and struggles are going on in our soul, and problems are there. And there's been a lot of people in the Bible that the Scripture shows us that they're discontented, and they're not doing what they ought to do, and there's something wrong in their life. You know, this morning, as a child of God, we ought to be very content with things that God gives to us. Paul said, whatever state he found himself to be in, he found himself to be contented, to be peaceful and at hope and restful, living for the Lord. But so many times, the devil brings things to us, and sometimes he'll put thoughts in our minds, and sometimes he'll put temptations in our way that discontents us and makes us very unhappy as a child of God. And we find ourselves, like this boy, becoming very wasteful with our time and our talents, our treasures, our ways, and we just go off and do what we desire to do, and we become a prodigal. It's not a good picture. I've seen people. In these many years of preaching, I've seen people make the decisions that would make them and led them to becoming a prodigal. I was looking this morning and it came to my mind. 34 years ago today, my wife and I joined Grace Baptist Church. It happened to be the 28th of January, where today is the 27th. And I didn't know in those years, I certainly had no idea that I would be here as long as I've been here and doing the things that I do. And we didn't know the future and had no way of doing that. But over the period of years, not just here but other places, I've seen folks become very discontented with God. They become very discontented with the good things that the Lord has given them. And, you know, the old proverb says that the grass always looks better somewhere else. And sometimes we feel that way. Sometimes the preacher feels that way, and sometimes we all have the same difficulties, and we become very discontented. And when we become discontented in the work of God and the things of the Lord, we better be careful because we set ourselves up to making the same trip that this young man made in his life that ended in almost total disaster. So notice here, not only was he discontented and says here to his father, give me the things, and then it says, not many days after. Now, he was maybe milling over in his mind, what am I going to do? Where am I going to go? What am I going to say? How am I going to live? Because he didn't immediately leave. He didn't immediately depart, but that was in his mind when he asked his father for the goods. That's what he wanted to do. That was what was set in his mind. It just took a little while for that to work out. And so the next part of the verse says, he divided him the goods and said in verse 13, and not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country. He goes a distance away from where his father was. He goes a distance away from where his brother was. Now, the Bible doesn't tell us what kind of relationship these two boys had. they may have been like normal brothers, like I've seen brothers fuss and fight and kick, and I'll wave at you all over there. I've seen them do things, and I don't have, I can remember your dad too, so that's all right with his brother. You see, that's one of the advantages of being here so many years. I know all those things. But I've seen the, and maybe these boys were like that. Maybe they were close, and I've seen brothers. My wife's family, there's nine of them. And there's two boys, the rest of them girls. And those two brothers, they're very close. And they're always wanting to do things with each other when they get together. And they were close as they were growing up. And maybe this is what these brothers were. Maybe they were like some others that I know, they're not close and just don't want to have anything to do with each other. But there was a problem here with this younger boy, that he goes to a far country, he goes to a distant land, and he's going to do his own thing. Now, he didn't get in trouble when he went to a far country. He got in trouble when he's at the father's house. He didn't get in trouble when he made the walk, or made the ride, or however he made the trip. He didn't get in trouble when he did that. He was in trouble before he ever left home. He was in trouble in his mind and his heart before he ever made the decision, give me what's mine. He had a problem in his life. He had a difficulty with his family. He had a problem with his father. You know, sometimes we have problems with our Heavenly Father. Sometimes we have a problem with our spiritual family, the family of God. And it's not when we make the change, it's not when we make the trip. The problem is already in our life. It's already in our heart. It just one day comes to fruition and everybody sees there is a problem, but many times it's hidden underneath. And the Bible says he went to a far country. I'll tell you what, when you get out of the will of God, when you get away from the Lord, you get a distance away from the house of God, when you wander off from the interests that are spiritual, you're going to face up and you're going to find out that trouble is ahead for you. There's a difficult path to follow. For you see, the Lord has saved us for the purpose of serving Him and living for Him. And when we rebel against that, then we become that prodigal. We become that person with that attitude. I want what mine is mine. And I want it in my time. I want it right now. And we're living in that age that everybody wants everything they can get right now and take care of all that they want to do and go out and have their fun and games now, never thinking about the future, never thinking about eternity. When we make that distant travel, when we turn away from good things. And this young man turned away from a good home. He turned away from a caring father. He turned away from a loving parent. He turned away from his brother. He turned away from everything that was good. And the Bible says that he gathered it all together. Give me what's mine. He gathered it all together. And he makes his journey. And the Bible says he came to a far country. Now the next part of that verse tells us what happened. Doesn't spend a lot of time on it. It maybe took him a little time to do this, but immediately there, the Bible says, wasted his substance in riotous living or rebellious living. He wasted his substance. He squandered his ways. Everything that he had now is vanished away. How many times we've seen that? Everything he had has now been dissipated. It's dissolved. It's gone. And he finds himself a long way from anybody that cared anything about him. He had no connection. He wasted his good with riotous, fun-loving, rebellious living. I'll guarantee you this young boy, and as Jesus gave this parable, the parable was a young Jewish boy because he was talking to Jewish publicans and sinners and scribes. And they could identify with what Jesus was talking about. And so he takes his goods and he wastes his things in sinfulness. That's really what righteous living is about. He no longer had the restraint of his father. He no longer had the fellowship of his brother. He's out there just exactly the way he wanted to be. Give me what's mine, and I'll leave. How many times people think that it's always better to go somewhere else until everything is gone? I'm sure he had friends. Because if you have money, you have friends. If you have substance, you have somebody that will gladly help you disperse your substance. They're real friends, aren't they? They're there to help you spend. They're there to help you have a good time. They're there to help you live it up. And then all of a sudden, one day you come to the realization, I don't have anything else. You come to the realization that in my wallet there's no other dollars. You come to the realization my bank account has been taken away. Oh, it was fun. He's on a long distant journey. He wanders off from his family life and his interest that he had. And he's living it up and he's having a good time. And his friends are there helping him. And then all of a sudden, it's gone. Notice here what it says. And when he spent all, he had spent it all. And the Bible, we know it was in righteous or ungodly living. Not only did he spend it all, but there arose a mighty famine in the land where he was. But he is a bad condition. Not only was he broke, but everybody else was too. Famine meant there wasn't any goods. Probably no rain, no crops, not much to have any way of making money. There's a famine in the land. Man, what a condition he is in. He's disappointed. Hadn't worked out the way he thought it would. Hadn't worked out the way he wanted it to. Hadn't worked out like he had figured out in his mind. How many times I've been guilty there. We have it all worked out. So this is going to happen, this is going to happen, that's going to happen, something else takes place, and this is the way I'll be. But somewhere along the line, something doesn't happen like it's supposed to happen, and that affects everything else down the line, and all of a sudden, it's not what we thought. He's disappointed. The fun was there for a while, but fun doesn't feed you. The games were there for a little while, but the games are over. He took all that belonged to him. And by the way, the father didn't have to do that. He did not have to give him anything, for he was the younger brother. And in Jewish leadership and Jewish families, it was always the elder brother that got things. But here's this boy said, I just want mine. And the father gave it, and he goes and squanders it. He goes and makes it disappear. He's disappointed now because the famine has come. And this is a direct result of the way he lived. Now, we hear much today about people getting into trouble and losing it all. You know, the number one cause of many suicides is losing everything. Just losing it, not having it. The person doesn't know where to turn, doesn't know where to go. And they think the best way of taking care of it is just disappear. He's disappointed. Whatever his age is at this time, he has come to the point that he's not satisfied. It's not what he thought it would be. Now remember, Jesus is talking to the Pharisees. He's talking to the religious leaders. He's talking to those that murmured against him. And he said, all right, fellas, let's just talk about this. You know what he's trying to tell them? They're lost. In every one of the portions of this parable, He's trying to relate to them. It doesn't matter who you are, you're lost without God. Without the authority figure, we have nothing. If that sheep didn't have that authority figure, that shepherd, go get him, he would have died where he was and would have been no more. If that woman that lost the coins, if she hadn't swept the floor diligently, she'd not had her money. They'd been lost. If these two boys, and we're going to look at the other one tonight, if these two boys had not had this father, this authority figure, in their life, they had no hope. Boy, I'm glad to thank God for some authority figures in my life. I'm glad for some people that had an influence on my life. As a young boy, as a boy growing up, and not just my mom and dad, but other folks that I could see that were serving God, and other people that were diligently serving the Lord and faithful. Even when hard times came, they stayed faithful to God. That leaves an impression upon people, and it should, and it's supposed to. And that's what helps keep us in line. This young boy, now he's disappointed. Where's all of his friends now? They're gone. Because there wasn't anybody. And so the Scripture says here that he felt like he was deserted. He had nothing. And the Bible says he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country. Now, for a Jewish young man to do that shows you and showed these Pharisees that he was really about as low as he could get. Now, we have studied before and we have looked before at the attitude of the Jews toward other people. Some of the most prejudiced people in this world were the Jews. We talk about prejudice in our lifetime. You read the Bible, the Jew was a very prejudiced person. They didn't even want the dust of the Gentiles on their shoes. And that's why the Bible says that they shook the dust off their feet. When they would go through the land of Samaria, and they come into that Gentile area of Samaria, and they would walk through the dusty roads of that area. When they came into the Jewish land, they would shake and literally shake the dust off their feet because they didn't want that Gentile dirt on their dirt. I got news for you. Dirt's dirt. That's the prejudice that was in their heart. And so for this young man to join himself to a citizen of that country meant he had rejected everything that he'd ever been taught. And these Pharisees knew what Jesus was saying. They knew for sure how low this man had gone. And by the way, when we get out of the will of God, we may have friends for a while, but they won't stay with us. They'll desert us. They'll not be there. So he's disappointed. He's deserted. So he joins himself to a citizen of that country. And he sent him into his fields. You talk about degrading. He sends this Jewish young man into his fields to feed the pigs, the swine. Peter said, I'll not touch anything that's unclean. And a swine is a part of that list of unclean animals. A pig was unclean to the Jew. And if they are practicing Jew today, it's still an unclean animal to them. Well, I'm glad that's not the way for Gentiles, aren't you? How many had some type of ham today already? But to the Jew, this young man, he is so low that he'll go feed an old dirty, rotten, unclean pig. He's deserted. Oh, he got what he wanted, by the way. He was no longer in his father's house. He was no longer under the rules of his father. That's like some of these guys say, I'm not going to do what anybody else wants me to do. I'm going to leave home and go join the army. I'm not going to have nobody tell me what to do. Don't join them. We had a young man here graduate from school, got a scholarship to Air Force Academy out in Colorado Springs. They told him how many times he could chew his food. So don't get the idea, go join them. You won't have to do anything. But this boy, he goes and now he's feeding pigs. Boy, he's deserted. Has no friends. Has no food. Has no fellowship. He's in the dark. He's living it down now. I mean, he's as low as he can get. There's no way a Jewish boy could get any lower than this boy to join with a Gentile and then go feed his pigs. And more than that, he said, I'm so hungry, I might just eat with them. Anybody ever been on a pig farm? Am I the only one? My. When I was a kid growing up, we had pigs. And I hated it when my dad said, go slop the pigs. Boy, that's the right word. And here this Jewish boy, now he says, looks pretty good. Sometimes things that we'd say we'd never do look pretty good when we're out of the will of God. Oh, I'd never do that. You better be careful. I would never be caught doing that. You better be careful. And here this boy is so disappointed and he's wasted everything. He's in a far country. There's no family. He's deserted. There's no friends. And he's working for the pigs. Really, he's deranged in his mind because the Bible says he came to himself. He was out of his mind for a while. And while he was in this condition, he said he would fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat. And no man gave to him. And when he came to himself, that means when he began to think correctly again, something has clicked. He thought, well, I can go back home and be a servant and be better than this. I can have more as a slave than what I've got here. And so he comes to himself and he says, I will arise and I will go and I will say this to my father. He had it all planned out. Notice the wording here, verse 18. I will arise and go to my father and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. That verse there tells me this was a home that was a spiritual home, where he knew about heaven. Father, I have sinned against heaven, and I've sinned against you. He says, I'm perishing with hunger, and the hard servants that my fathers have, they have enough to spare, even to throw away, and they have enough to do with what they want to do. He says, so I'm going to go and I'm going to say to my father, I have sinned. Buddy, that's what it takes. For us to realize and for us to be in fellowship or come back into fellowship with our father, we must understand I have sinned. David, in his confession there in Psalm number 52, he said, I have sinned. Me and me only. I and I only have sinned against God. It hadn't been Israel. It hadn't been my family. David said, it was me. And this boy came to the same position in this story of the parable. He came to the conclusion, I have sinned. If we ever want to have fellowship with our family, if we ever want to have fellowship with our Father, we're going to have to recognize we've gone to a far country. We've done things we ought not to do. Aren't you glad He's able to forgive? Praise the Lord. There's not a sin He cannot forgive. There's not a problem that He cannot fix. I'm glad our Father, our God, is a Father of first, second, third, fourth, fifth chances, and you count them on. For He loves us. This young boy, he was so deranged in his mind. He said, I've got it made. I'm doing what I want to do. I'm living the way I want to live. And all of a sudden, he came to himself. I don't have food. I don't have friends. I don't have family. I don't have finances. Ooh. I think I'll go back to my father. You see, sometimes it's not as bad as we think it is. And when we get really in a predicament, we find out it's pretty good back home. And so this young boy, and I love the story. I guess of all the parables, this is my favorite. Because of it, it is so real to you and I. He said, I'm going to say this to my father. Father, I've sinned against heaven. And I've sinned against you. And I'm no more worthy to be your son. You know, this morning, we are not worthy to be called the sons of God. We don't have any worth. We don't have anything that would make God want us. Think about your own life. You're the only one that knows it as much as you're the only one that knows everything. Think about your own life. Is there anything that you can find that say, well, I believe God would, yeah, He could use me. I believe God would want me. I believe the Lord would, He'd be blessed if I'd be one of His children. As long as we have that attitude, we'll never be one of His children. But this young boy came to himself and he said, I've sinned. And I'm not worthy to be called your son. Every one of us this morning, none of us are worthy to be called a Christian. I think I can't remember the verse, but the disciples, they were blessed that they were counted worthy to suffer persecution. It's in the book of Acts. You and I are blessed this morning that He would consider us worthy to be His child. We've gone a far distance. We've gone a long way away. We've wasted His substance. It's not ours. You see, that young boy, he didn't waste his. He wasted his father's. He didn't waste anything that belonged to him. He wasted what his father gave him. That was not rightfully his, but yet his father gave it. And he wasted it. And now he's coming back with a repentant heart and an attitude. If he'd have had the attitude he had coming back, he'd have never left. And he comes back now and says, Father, I've sinned against heaven. I've sinned against you. Don't even call me your son. Just make me a servant. Well, I love the response of the father. Notice what it says. In verse 20, now he had all set up what he's going to say in verse 19. So he arose and he came to his father. He made his way back home. Now notice, but when he was yet a great way off. This is what I love about this passage. While he was a great way off, what happened? The father saw him. The only way that father could see that boy coming was that he was looking for him to come back. What a wonderful father we have. The only way that he could see him coming was that maybe every day he went out at a certain time. Maybe every hour he would go out there. And he'd look down that dusty road and he said, I wonder where my boy is. And he was looking every day. But one day was different than all the others. While he's a great way off, a great distance off, he sees this form coming up the road. And he sees his son. It's different than it was yesterday or the day before or the year before or ever how long he's been gone. And so the father says, and while he's a great way off, his father saw him. And then it says he had compassion on him. He had compassion before he got home. He had compassion on him when he saw him coming back because he knew what had happened in his life. Boy, aren't you glad God knows? Praise the Lord. And his father saw him and had compassion. Now notice here. And ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. Here's the father. Now this is a parable, I know, but we can picture it as a real incident that happened. Here's a father that's looking every day since his son left. He's been looking for him to come back. He's been planning for him to come back. And one day he sees him. Maybe he couldn't tell who he was right at first. Maybe he just saw, well, somebody's coming up the road. And he keeps looking and keeps looking. All of a sudden, he can tell the form of that. Well, that's my son. There's something about our children that we just know them They can be a long way off and we know them. And he sees him coming a long distance away. And the Bible says he ran to his son. Now that's, we know the Father represents God. That's the only time in the Scripture that ever tells us that God is in a hurry to get his children. But he runs to that son. And he falls on his neck. And he kisses him. And his boy, he begins to tell him all that he wants to tell him. Notice there. And the son said to his father, I have sinned against heaven, against thy sight. No more worthy be called thy son. But the father. Father stops him right there. The father said to his servants. He didn't say to his son, he said to the servants. Now, he directs his attention away from the boy that has received his kisses and received his hugs and is glad he's coming back. And the boy says, I'm no more worthy to be called your son. The father didn't let him get to the be a servant part. He just turns to his servants. And he said to them, bring forth the best robe. Put it on him. Put a ring on his hand. And shoes on his feet. Fix him up. Take care of my son. For he was dead. Now he's alive. In that father's mind, he was as good as dead. He was gone. The Bible says we're dead in sins and trespasses before our Father finds us. We're dead. He said he's lost, but now he's found. And the Father said, just dress him up. Put a robe on him. That's a robe that represents the righteousness of the Lord. Put a ring on his finger. That shows sonship. Put shoes on his feet. That shows a service. Put all these things on him, for my son that was dead is alive. He was lost, now he's found. And they began to be merry. They were having a party. They were having time. He had been separated from his father, and he is gone. And now his father sees him and makes sure everything is just like it ought to be. Aren't you glad we serve a living God that loves us that much? Praise the Lord, he knew where I was when I got saved. He knew what I needed. He knew everything about my life, and he came to where I was. He came to me. Praise the Lord. So it was a prodigal. He was a bad, bad character. Before we get on him too much, we don't want to talk too much about us, do we? It's a parable. It's a story that gives us a human relationship, and all we got to do is just think a little bit when I was a prodigal. When I was that way. When I had that attitude. And you know what? We can have that attitude any age we are. We don't have to be a young person. We can have that attitude, old person. We can have the attitude of doing our own thing, going our own way, and getting away out from God. But I'm glad he's still there waiting for us to come, and he'll come to where we are. And he'll help us. He'll cleanse us. He'll come to us and save us. And then thank God he'll come to us when we come back into his fold, back to his way. There's no God like our God. Of all the nations of the world and all the religions of the world, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, who is our God, is the only God that is not to be feared. He's to be loved. Why, all these folks around the world, they fear their God. They're afraid if they do anything wrong, that their God's going to do something wrong to them. Our God loves us. Years ago, there was a saying, or I don't remember now, a song, I guess, and I just despised the attitude of it. God's going to get you for that. That's not scriptural. God's going to love us despite who we are. Now, he will chasten us and he will bring us back home. But God is not a revengeful God that's going to get you because you do something wrong. This Father, my Father, your Father, he looks for us to come back. How did he know his boy was coming back? Why was he looking every day? How do we know he had that desire? Well, he said, put a ring on his finger, shoes on his feet, a robe on his back. And then he says one thing here that's really strange. Go kill the fatted calf. Now that means that he fattened him on purpose. He wasn't just a calf out there in the field. He wasn't just something out there roaming around. It was the fatted calf. It's the one that he had planned. When my boy comes back, that's going to be our feast. Well, thank God for a loving Father. I'm glad this morning my Heavenly Father loves me, cares for you. And we can present Him to the world that Jesus saves. Let's stand together this morning.